This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We've got another hour of old-time radio crime for you today, beginning with Night Beat. We'll hear an episode titled Molly Keller, first aired July 17th, 1950. After that, it's Broadway is My Beat and the Lou Martin murder case. That episode originally aired November 20th, 1953.
Wheaties presents Night Beat. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. My stories start in many different ways. This one began with greed and fear, and ended when two men started out for murder.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
If you don't mind, Wheaties and I are going to talk to four little boys in Philadelphia for a moment. Their names are Dennis, Donald, David, and Dean Joost. And their father's name is Eddie Joost, champion shortstop of the Philadelphia Athletics. Boys, I hear you all eat your Wheaties along with Dad in the morning, and I think that's swell. Because Dad needs that Wheaties energy to help him get through the old ball game, the way he huddles when he's on the field. We sure wouldn't want him to skip his Wheaties, would we? And it could happen. He's a pretty busy man. So keep setting him a good example, won't you? Keep eating your Wheaties and milk and fruit, and keep Dad eating his. Just tell him this if he happens to forget. Say, Dad, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11, huh? Thanks, boys. Thanks a lot.
Tonight I didn't have to look for my story. It came over the blood type. A few lines of cold, impersonal print that told that a man had died. Charles Keller died today in the state penitentiary. Keller served 14 years of a 20-year sentence for armed robbery. The clacking stopped for a moment, as though the machine were taking a breath. Charles Keller. I thought of his wife, Molly, a quiet, patient woman who worked here in the building, scrubbing floors. Then the teletype started up again, writing a finish to a man's life. Keller died, still denying any knowledge of the $65,000 payroll robbery, a sensation of 14 years ago. Keller's death deepens the mystery of the money, which was never recovered. Well, that was all about Charles Keller. The teletype faded as I walked from the room to the elevator and down to the lobby. Tim, the night watchman, came toward me.
Evening, Mr. Stone.
How are you, Tim?
You're starting out kind of early, ain't you?
I guess so. Where's Molly?
I don't know. When I come on tonight, she wasn't here. Why?
Her husband died today.
Yeah, I heard it. Who's going to scrub the floors if she don't show up?
Who'll scrub the floors? Well, there's the sanitary viewpoint. She didn't send word, sick, or anything like that?
Not that I know of. She just ain't here, that's all.
Okay, you know where she lives, don't you?
Sure. Now, the first night she's missed in 14 years. Funny, ain't it?
Oh, sure. Very funny. Give me her address. I'd known Molly for as long as I'd worked on the Star. At first, people had pointed her out. Molly Keller, Charles Keller's wife, wife of a convict. But she scrubbed her floors and said nothing. Once a month, she'd go to visit her husband. And then the years passed, and Molly wasn't the wife of a convict anymore. She was just a scrub woman. But now her husband's death would bring it all back. There'd be those awkward attempts to be kind to her. And if I knew Molly, she wouldn't want that. That's why I went to see her.
Help you, mister?
Yes, I think so. Molly Keller lives here, doesn't she?
She ain't here now.
Well, where is she?
What's your name?
Stone, Randy Stone.
Wait a minute. That don't sound like any name she put down.
What?
You said Stone, huh?
Yeah, Stone.
I can't tell you where she is.
What have you got there?
Well, nothing you want. Now you go away. I gotta get some sleep.
Yeah, in a minute. Look, I'm Randy Stone, Chicago Star. Here's my press card.
I don't care about that. Molly gave me $50.
She did what?
Mister, you ain't one of the names, so I can't tell you where she is.
But I'm a friend of hers, and I've got to see her. Her husband died today, and I...
Oh. I didn't know that.
Well, you do now. Tell me where Molly is.
Well, Molly, know about her husband?
I don't know.
Well, okay, but when you see her, don't tell her it was me that told you.
All right. Where is she?
Lake Drive Hotel.
Huh? The Lake Drive? Are you sure?
You asked me, I told you. Now, that's all.
The Lake Drive Hotel, swank and plush. Visiting royalty had to show their crowns before they could get in. So I went there, I walked through the lobby, past the diamonds and the furs, and up to the desk where a clerk with a hard accent and a Vassa personality looked me over.
Front, Molly.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, I think so. I'm looking for a woman named Molly Keller.
Is she registered here, sir?
I don't think so. Molly Keller is, well, she's a scrub lady.
I beg your pardon?
A scrub lady, one of the great army of working people.
I suggest you try the servant's entrance.
You forgot the sir.
If you'll excuse me.
Yes, this is important. I want to find Molly Keller.
The servant's entrance?
You're wasting the springtime of your youth repeating that. Now, all you have to do is go to the phone and check with the employees department, find out if there's a Molly Keller working there.
Very well. One moment, please.
Thank you.
Hello. This is the desk. Is there a scrub woman working here named Molly Keller? Thank you.
Well?
There's no one here by that name.
Maybe she used the name Mrs. Charles Keller.
Sir?
Mrs. Charles Keller.
But we have a Mrs. Charles Keller registered here.
Registered?
Certainly, in the Royal Suite.
The Royal Suite? When did she check in?
Really, sir, I cannot give out information about our guest.
Yes, all right. Will you call her and tell her I'd like to see her?
One moment, I must check something first.
I hate to see you patter back and forth on your delicate little feet. What's up now?
Your name, sir?
Stone, Randy Stone.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. That is not one of the names Mrs. Le gave me.
She gave you a list of names, too?
No one but these three men were to be shown up under any circumstances.
Well, ask her if she'll see me, Randy Stone. She knows me.
Very well, sir. One moment.
The clerk to the desk phone. I told myself the woman in the Royal Suite couldn't be Molly Keller, not at $100 a day plus tips. I half expected the clerk to come back and tell me Mrs. Charles Keller didn't know me.
Mrs. Keller, there's a gentleman here to see you. No, not one of the three. Well, he says his name is Randy Stone. Yes, Mrs. Keller, I'll send him up. Mrs. Keller will see you, Mr. Stone. The Royal Suite is 4A. The elevators are in the alcove to your right.
Thank you.
The elevator, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'll walk up. The air might clear my head.
Oui, monsieur? Oui, monsieur?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Randy Stone, Mrs. Keller.
Oh, oui, Monsieur Stone. You will please come in.
Thank you.
I will tell Madame Keller you are
it's
here.
All right, Colette. I heard him.
Oui, madame. In there, monsieur. Be sitting
with... Thank you again.
Hello, Randy.
Hello, Molly.
Will madame wish me any more?
No, I'll call the service desk when I need you.
Merci, madame.
How'd you find me, Randy?
Did I?
But you're here.
Yeah, I know. I'm here, but are you?
What do you mean?
What do you think I mean, Molly? Or should I say, Madam Keller?
What do you want?
I don't know. What are you doing here?
I live here.
Since when?
I registered tonight.
Uh-huh, that clears up the whole thing. You just walked in here and registered at $100 a day plus a French maid. What is all this?
Please go, will you?
Yeah, in a minute. This came over the teletype about an hour ago.
Charles?
Yeah.
They notified me.
You're not going up there?
Charles is dead. Why should I go up?
Look, there's something wrong. This doesn't make sense. I've known you for a long time. I've watched you. A woman for whom I had a lot of respect because she had a lot for herself.
A woman who broke her back and hands for 14 years while her husband rotted in prison.
While you stuck by him?
Because I was a fool.
Well, then why didn't you divorce him?
Oh, I couldn't.
You couldn't? Why not?
Please go now. Don't ask any more questions.
Why not, Molly? Why are you afraid to have me ask questions?
What do you want, a story?
No.
Get out.
Molly.
What?
Where are you getting the money for all this?
It's got nothing to do with you, Randy.
But it has everything to do with you and your husband.
He's dead.
Molly, that money from the robbery, the $65,000.
Leave me alone.
You know where it is, don't you? You've known for 14 years.
You don't know anything about it.
You've got it.
Get out.
Okay, Madam Keller, I'm sorry I called on you. I was looking for Molly Keller. The wrong number. Goodbye.
You're going to the police?
No, I won't have to. Another thing, Molly. I read about the case. There were other men in that robbery. You think they'll stand still and let you get away with this? There were three other men, Molly, and they...
They what?
Those names that you left with the landlord and the clerk.
What about them?
Who are they?
All right, Randy. You want a story? I'll give you one. Here. The names and addresses of three men.
So?
You want a story? And I'll give you one, the biggest you've ever had. A murder story.
Murder?
Yes. You go to these men and tell them about me. Where I am, how I'm living.
If they're who I think they... No, I won't. It'll be your murder, Molly.
No, Randy, not mine.
Then whose?
I promise you, you'll find out before tomorrow.
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
You know, tomorrow can be a real nice day. The sun can seem shinier, the air can seem crisper, the grass can seem greener. And you can get more enjoyment out of living if you want to. Break into that day with a bowl of Wheaties. That's what I said. Wheaties with milk and the kind of fruit you specially like. Or Wheaties with milk and no fruit. Or just Wheaties. You think that's going pretty strong on Wheaties? Not really, it isn't. Because Wheaties are whole wheat. And what a powerful lot of whole wheat Wheaties are. Every Wheaties flake, a whole kernel of wheat. That's why a bowl full of Wheaties pops with so much high-stepping, day-brightening energy. Energy right after you get up from the breakfast table. Energy all morning long. Wheaties have it, and it's for you. Whole wheat goodness. Of course, you don't have to think about vitamins and minerals when you eat those Wheaties. Just pass that milk, fill that bowl, pull up a spoon, and get Wheaties happy. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, spooning into sunny, whole wheat Wheaties. Try them for an awfully nice start on that nicer day I've been talking about, tomorrow. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you. And that's a promise. Indeed it is.
And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
That was all I got from Molly, a piece of paper with the names and addresses of three men written on it. I left her, I headed for the street, and I walked around thinking. A couple of times I started to toss away that paper, but it stuck to my fingers. A couple of times I headed for the precinct police station and stopped. What did I have? Zero. What could I get? A story, she said. Okay, Molly, let's see. The first address took me to a Harry Campbell, a gimlet-eyed pool hall tout. I interrupted his game.
Newspaper, huh? Well, what gives?
Now, let's get away from the table.
Say it here, Mr. Stone, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead. Nine ball, corner pocket.
This is about $65,000 and Charles Keller. You missed the shot, Harry. It was an easy one.
Yeah. Take my cue, Eddie. I got something to do.
Yeah, sure. Steady.
Okay, you. Come on. Now, what was that you said?
$65,000.
Keep going.
14 years ago, there was a payroll robbery. The money from it was never recovered. Somebody has it, Harry.
Why tell me?
I thought you'd like to know.
Why?
Charles Keller said he didn't get the money.
Oh, now, look, you come in here, give me a fast chorus about 65 G's I don't know nothing about.
But you're interested.
Anybody's interested in that much dough.
That's what I mean.
What's your angle, Stone? How come you found me? How come you knew where to find me?
Molly Keller told me. You don't know her, huh?
No.
Well, I thought maybe you did. Anyway, I interviewed her at her suite at the Lake Drive, and
Where?
The Lake Drive Hotel. She's registered in the Royal Suite, French maid and all. Yesterday, she was scrubbing floors.
You better go, Mr. Stone.
Okay. I'll see you around, Harry.
Yeah. I'll be waiting up for you.
Name number two was Bob Olson. He wasn't home, but I located him in an all-night beanery. He was behind counter.
What'll yours be, mister?
Coffee.
Sure. Black?
Yeah.
Coffee black. Sugar?
I know, thank you, Bob.
I know you?
No, not yet.
How come you know my name?
Bob Olson, that right?
Yeah. How'd you know?
Oh, psychic, or maybe Molly Keller told me.
Huh?
I just come from Harry Campbell.
I don't know him.
Nor Molly Keller?
Never heard of her.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know the right people, Bob, or you'd know all about $65,000. Bob Olson played it straight, too, but there was the same look in his eyes I saw in Campbell's, hard and nasty. I left him with the same information I'd given Campbell. Then I headed for the third name on the list, Jim Humphreys.
Yeah, what do you want, Buster?
I'm looking for Jim Humphreys.
What for?
Is he here?
That depends. Are you a copper?
No, I'm a reporter. Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
What do you want?
You're, Mrs. Humphreys?
So I had bad luck. What do you want?
Who is that, Kitty?
A guy with a tie on. Nobody you'd know.
Oh, yeah? Who are you? What's the pitch?
The name is Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
What's the newspaper guy got to talk to me about?
14 years and $65,000.
Jim, what's he talking about?
I don't know yet. Come on in. Kitty?
What?
Get in the other room. Close the door and stay there.
Listen, I want to know what's
Shut
going
up.
On.
Now, go ahead. Get in the other room. Now, what's with you, Stone?
Charles Keller died in prison today. That mean anything?
No, never heard of him.
Never heard his wife either, huh?
No. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you doing?
Looking around. This isn't the best place in the world, is it, Jim?
It's good enough.
One quarter of 65,000 is about 16,000. You didn't get anything, did you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, everybody is innocent. Olson, Campbell. You know them, Jim?
No.
I guess Molly Keller sent me on a wild goose chase.
Molly Keller?
Yeah, she's living at the Lake Drive. For 14 years, she scrubbed floors while her husband was in prison, but now she's...
Jim!
Get back in there.
I ain't. You heard what this guy says. The Lake Drive Hotel. She's living there.
You flathead, shut your trap.
I won't. Do you hear me?
I'm telling you, get back in that room and stay in there.
Hey, I've been living in this crumb joint. Look at me. Mister, you look at me.
I am, kid.
So I'm ugly.
No, not at all.
No, I ain't. But I gotta live in this trap. Me, I could have had lots of things, but I ain't. I've been taking this guff because he tells me that someday...
Keep it shut, I tell you. Keep it shut.
I've been keeping quiet for long enough. For 5 years, I've been keeping quiet because you told me that someday I...
I told you. Now, get out of here. Get in the other room.
Now, wait a minute.
Keep out of this, you. Kitty, you heard me.
Just a bird in a cage. And not a gilded one.
Mister, I don't want to hear nothing else from you. Now, you got a couple of seconds to get out of here before I slap you all over the neighborhood. Now, what do you say?
Oh, it's clear. Okay, so long, Jim.
Come back again, and I'll kill you.
Well, there I had it. Three men who knew about the robbery, who'd like to get their hands on the money, but who had to stay undercover and keep quiet until... Until what? The answer to that lay with Molly Keller, and I wanted the answer. 20 minutes later, I was back at the Lake Drive Hotel. This time, I didn't go to the desk.
I slipped through the lobby, up the stairs, and down the carpeted hallway to Molly's suite.
Randy.
Hello, Molly. Want company?
Yeah. Come in.
Oh. You've already got company.
Take it easy, Stone.
Yeah, guns forced me into a sort of composure, Olson. Molly.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks for sending him here.
Sit down again, Molly.
Of course, Harry.
Now, once more, where's the dough?
You expect me to tell you, Bob?
You will or else.
Molly, if you got any sense at all, you'll tell them they can't get away.
I know.
You're crazy. Why did you let them in?
I wanted to. Bob Olson and Harry Campbell and Jim Humphreys. Where's Jim?
Never mind him. Now listen, Molly. You ain't gonna get hurt if you know where the money is.
No.
Molly.
First one, then the other, like two jackals. I knew they'd come, Randy.
Where is it, Molly?
Not yet, Harry. There's still one more to come. Jim Humphreys. When he gets here, I'll tell you.
You'll tell us now.
No. And if you kill me, you'll never find out. Will you? You'll never find out. You had to make a deal with each other. Now wait and make one with Humphreys. Randy.
What do you want?
How long ago did you leave Jim?
20 minutes.
He should be here by now.
We ain't waiting, Molly. We ain't waiting.
Campbell, you...
Stay sitting, Stone. Watch him, Bob.
I am.
Molly, we ain't kidding. We ain't kidding. All right, Molly.
It's no use, Harry. You can do anything you want to do. You won't find out anything until Jim Humphreys gets here.
And there we sat, Campbell Olson, Molly, and I. And the minutes ticked by. I watched Molly. She never took her eyes off the two men. There was no expression on her face but hate. A bitter hate that could almost be felt. And then...
It's been an hour. We ain't waiting no longer.
All right, Harry. Guess Jim isn't coming.
Molly, you're gonna tell us. Now.
Yeah. I will, Bob.
Stay sitting, Molly.
You want the money, don't you, Harry?
You got it here?
Over there. I'll get it for you.
Go ahead. Bob, watch this guy.
Right.
You waited 14 years for this. 14 years. So have I. All right. Here. Here's the money. Take it. Take it, Harry.
This bank book? What are you giving us?
The money. Take it.
Why, you stinking. This is your bank book. And nothing. No money.
14 years of saving for this minute, don't you see? I never had the money. Charles never had it.
Don't give me that. What about this joint?
The money for all this was mine, penny by penny, dollar by dollar. I saved for this moment.
You're lying, Molly, you're lying.
Look at that last withdrawal, Harry. $512 taken out yesterday to pay for this, to bring you out like jackals.
Where's the money, Molly? Where is it?
14 years ago, three men got $65,000 in a robbery, but there was a fourth man who had nothing to do with it. He was framed. Framed by one of the other three.
You're nuts.
No, Bob, just a little smarter than you. The man who framed my husband was smart, too. He made you believe there was a fourth man who got the money and hid it. Now, think back. The money was hidden. Then it disappeared.
You're lying, Molly. You're lying.
Am I? If I'm lying, where's Jim Humphreys? Why isn't he here? You two are, but he isn't, because he knows where the money is. He's got it. He's got it.
Humphreys.
You know where he is.
Yeah, we know where he is.
Well, then get him. You'll have to kill him, but that won't make any difference, will it? Not for all that money. Get him.
Molly, if this is a frame, so help me, we'll get you.
Find out, Harry. Go to him. The money is yours, isn't it? Get it. You waited 14 years, afraid to ask, afraid to talk, but now...
What about him? Stone.
He won't stop you. He won't stop you because I won't let him.
Harry, watch her.
He'll stay here. Go ahead, Harry. Bob, I can use a gun, too.
Molly... Molly, this better not be a frame.
You'll find Jim Humphreys and the money.
Come on, Harry.
I guess you would shoot me, wouldn't you, Molly?
If I have to.
And this is my story?
Yeah. They don't get up, Randy.
You're sending two men out to kill a third. Why?
Because this is what can build up inside of a woman for 14 years.
It'll help your husband, won't it?
Don't come near me, Randy.
So Jim Humphreys will be killed. What about you? You're as much a murderer as they'll be.
And glad of it.
Molly, give me that gun. Let me call the police.
No.
It's not too late.
It's always too late. It was too late for Charles. He died. No one helped him because he had a record. No one believed him.
It's not too late, Molly.
Don't, Randy, don't.
Killing will help, won't it? One man's death will bring back those 14 years, won't it? It'll make everything all right. Oh, sure, an eye for an eye. That's why the whole world is going blind. Kill or be killed. Live in a jungle.
Shut up.
Join the pack, Molly. Run with the jackals. You're crying, Molly. Why? Why?
Let me alone, Randy.
Molly, I'm going to the phone and I'm going to call the police.
No, don't.
You can shoot if you want to.
Oh, please. Please don't, Randy.
Take your choice, Molly. Be like those two who just left, or be yourself.
I know what I want. What I've waited for.
Yes, 14 years you've waited. It's a long time, Molly, a long time to build up an act of violence. One that can't bring back a single day or change a minute that's gone past. You've got what you want. Those three men live in fear and hatred, mistrust and suspicion. Now tonight you gave them in 1 hour the bitterest pill they could swallow, the realization that they've wasted 14 years. You didn't, you knew. That 1 hour is all you need. Go ahead and shoot if you want to, Molly. Hello, get me the police, quickly.
All right, Randy. All right.
Welcome back, Molly. Well, there's the story of Molly Keller in 14 years, but it's more than that. It's a story of people. Mix them up all you want, put them in any situation, and what they do depends on what they are inside. You can't change that. Maybe it's all to the good. It gives a guy a starting point when he begins to wonder how things will turn out for all of us. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Night Beat on the Wheaties Big Parade. And here's our star, Frank Lovejoy, with a string around his finger. What's that for, Frank?
Oh, that's for Wheaties. I've got to get some before I go home. We're out.
Out of Wheaties?
Yeah.
How'd it happen?
Well, the kids, you know.
Oh, the kids ate them up?
Well, no.
Oh, your company.
Well, no, doggone it. I ate them up myself. I had a bowl full of breakfast this morning. It was so good I had another bowl full. First thing I knew, I'd finished the box.
And then you forgot to say you'd done it.
How'd you know?
It's happened to me. Get two boxes tonight, Frank. It's the only way.
Okay, I'll do it. Night.
Good night, Frank. And don't run out of Wheaties at your house, folks. Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Russell Hughes, with music by Frank Wirth. The part of Molly was played by Sarah Selby. Others in tonight's cast were Joan Banks, Wilms Herbert, Peter Leeds, Wally Mayer, and George Offerman, Jr. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Forest fires aren't born, they're made. 9/10 of all forest fires in this country are touched off by the carelessness of forest travelers. Don't you be one of the guilty persons who kindle 9 out of 10 forest fires. Follow these simple rules for woodland traveling. Carefully crush out all cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break all matches in two after using. Double-check campfires by drenching them twice with water. Always find out the law before using fire in the forest. Night Beat came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. ¶¶
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, transcribed with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
The days pass quickly on Broadway now. It's November, and the time clock people go home in shadows. Even autumn is slipping away, and it's got to be done quickly now. Fast drink, fast shower, quick phone call, and out into the swarm. Out into the spilling darkness and eddies of crowd and furious street. For November night is torrents, is rockets of color, is sudden swift rush of riot. So grab a partner and hang on. A time is dying, starting tonight. And where I was, and Detective Muggerman, apartment in the West 30s, the quality was of midnight, of every light being turned on to flood it out. Midnight, and the quality of death. And the man in pajamas.
I hit him over the head with this. I hit him and I killed him.
And his wife, nightgown and robe.
And I...
You just take it easy, honey.
What were you going to say, Mrs. Cornell?
Nothing, that I was the one who called the police, that's all.
Yes. I slugged him and she called. You?
Lieutenant Clover. You know his name? He told you his name.
Lieutenant.
Yeah?
When are you going to get that man out of here? When's the meat wagon coming? That's what you call it, isn't it, meat?
Ray. Ray, stop.
Let's run it down, Mr. Cordell.
Hmm?
Run it down. That's what we call it when we want to find out
it's
what...
It's obvious.
Run it down.
Make a pot of tea, Virginia.
What?
Tea, coffee, something. A drink, something.
Yeah, sure.
Don't bother, Mrs. Cordell. You just stay right there.
All right. But listen, can't you get that man out of here?
You know the man your husband killed this evening, Mrs. Cordell?
Know it?
What do you call it when they're like you, Lieutenant? A cutie or something? What?
Look, Mr. Cordell, a man is slugged to death in your apartment. A man, according to identification found on his body, whose name is...
Lou Martin.
Yeah, that's right, Lou Martin.
Well, sure it's right. The lieutenant picked up his wallet out of his coat, pulled out a card, and yelled, Lou Martin. Also that he's from Akron, according to his business card.
Okay, okay. What was he doing here?
I was in the library reading a book, and I dozed off. Right, Ginny?
Right.
Ginny was here in the bedroom sleeping, right?
That's right.
And then she screamed.
That man was bending over me.
What would you do, Lieutenant? You're married to a woman, and she screams in the middle of the night that there's a guy in her room, and by golly, there is. What would you do?
Just tell me what you did.
I grabbed the andiron and came running. I gave him a hit. That's what I did.
Yeah, you really did.
Can't you get him out of here?
After a while. This room will have to be photographed, and...
Then we'll have to be questioned again.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Ray.
It's all right, Jenny. I don't mind. I don't mind it at all.
That's not what I mean.
Jenny. Jenny, you're shivering. Oh, come here. Come here. Better? Sure, it's better. This is what you meant, isn't it? Sure. Sure it is.
Danny?
Oh, good morning, Gino. Come on in. Well, how do you feel?
Well, this is a warming note if I ever heard one.
Huh?
Good mornings and how do you feel? Fellow to fellow. The pause in the day-to-day hurly-burly to inquire. The need to know how a friend is faring.
Answer the question, Gino. How do you feel?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Let's get to work, shall we?
I don't see why not. However, Danny, there's not a whole lot to report. Dr. Sinsky is at autopsy at the moment and no word so far from him. However...
Just go on, Gino.
Well, nothing, except the hotel which registered Lou Martin before his death has been located due to the diligent efforts
of... What's the name of the hotel, Gino?
The Easterwood, Danny. Uptown, East 75th.
Well, thank you, Gino.
Of course.
Squad car and ride uptown, then. Through bright glintings of November streets, through quick fusion and drift of November color, brown haze and yellow sunlight and gray stone and black winter's coat and poodle, snow white, held against the pallor of a woman's face who waits for a traffic light to change, watches it change, shifts the poodle to warmth of the other cheek, waits again, and the gentleman tips a Homburg. Turn then into the side street of the Easterwood Hotel and park and enter the lobby, which is late autumn performance of loiterers, of November's transients, of permanent residents who sit on edge in split leather chairs and compare watches with the dubious statement of the hour as written on the face of the lobby clock. And show the badge, spell out the name of a man dead, and be told, room 3A, down that corridor where Mr. Ramsey, the manager, is. Where, if you have questions, Mr. Ramsey is the man.
Come in.
Mr. Ramsey?
Yes. And you?
Police.
Good. And you can help me. Help me with all this...
With what?
With what? By the gathering together and putting away neatly of all these things of Mr. Lou Martin's. Now, these shirts and other things, they go into that suitcase over there. And these...
Just let them alone, Mr. Ramsey.
Let them alone? Or you don't understand. It's a service I perform.
For the dead?
For the dead. For when things happen to one of our transients, as happened to Mr. Martin, I make a checklist against any future legal squabbles that might arise. I ship the things on to their homes or wherever stated on the register. I enjoy doing this small thing for...
Where were you going to ship Mr. Martin's things?
Where? Why, to his firm in Akron, of course. To... Well, here, I'll show you. There, have yourself a look. Calendars. Sample calendars. Mr. Martin's line. This type of calendar. The firm is stated here in small print right below the... Well, I had them all packed, and there's where I was going to send them.
And this hotel?
This hotel, I may say, was Lou Martin's home away from home, twice annually.
Then you can tell me something about Lou Martin.
About Lou Martin? Not I. Angela, if she's there.
Angela?
Sometimes drops in on our bar and hangs around. Lou introduced me to her. Lou promised Angela once she could pose for a calendar. So Angela would be the logical one for you to talk to. Oh, come on, let's take a walk and see. Oh, these things of Lou Martin's,
yeah, you'll... We'll take care of them.
You'll take care of them. Well, that's good. Then come along. If you'd care to tell me how Lou Martin died, the paper was quite vague on certain details.
Oh, forget it, Mr. Ramsey.
Of course. Forget it. Boy? You, boy? Those things of Lou's, don't ship them. This policeman's going to take care of them. That's our best boy. Come along. Our bar. The cozy room. Well, now, let me see if she's here. Oh, yes, there's Angela. Cozy, alone, blonde. Sipping the frosty. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
I saw the tout point you to me. My frosty... There. My frosty's dead. It's what I'll have. Another frosty, please.
I'm from the police.
They don't allow dancing in here. See the sign? No dancing, it says.
Mr. Ramsey told me you knew Lou Martin.
Hip, hip, hooray for Mr. Ramsey.
What about it?
You think I'd ask you to buy me another frosty? Lou wasn't dead. Lou wasn't dead, he'd be sitting right here by my side, buying me everything I need. In the world, Lou wasn't dead.
You two got along fine, huh?
Very fine. Every 2 months for the year I worked here, for 3 years, twice a year, that's 6 times, we got along very fine. There was red circles around the days when, on his sample calendars.
Did he ever tell you anything of robberies he was involved in? Any prowling?
No. Lou never told me he was a burglar. A thief by night, a night rider. He never told. Well, I see my time is running short, and I must bid you... Joe, hit me with another frosty. Hit me, baby.
I'm away home, Danny. I thought I'd check you on a couple of things before...
On what, Muggerman?
Well, I picked up Lou Martin's things at the hotel, like you told me.
Mm-hmm.
Being run through technical now. So far, just a few chuckles and elbow pokes from those giants down there over the artwork on Martin's calendars.
Yeah, anything else?
Oh, yeah. Met a routine check on that girl Angela you talked to, works the bar.
Yeah.
Touts hotel clients into drinks. When Lou Martin was around, her word for the season was hands off. Must be a few thousand Angelas in New York City, Danny. So is it all right if I go home now?
Oh, sure. Good night, Muggerman.
Oh, I promised the missus I'd take her to a movie tonight. She called special on the phone to tell me she's sick and tired of I don't take... Hey, you care to come along, Danny? My treat? You and me and the missus? Then after we could...
You'll pardon me, Detective Muggerman?
How about you, Gino? You want to go to a movie with me and the missus tonight? My treat.
Thank you, no. I have made other arrangements with my own missus. Thank you kindly, however.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yes, Gino.
Just came in, riot call, from a neighbor in the apartment house, 1832 West 35th. A woman is screaming.
West 35th, hey, that's...
Exactly, the apartment where last night Mr. and Mrs. Ray Cordell killed that robber. I thought, Danny, you would
I'll
want...
I'll take it with you if you want, Danny.
No, you take it right to the movie. Thanks, anyway. Open up. Open up.
Who asked you?
You having some trouble, Mr. Cordell?
Neighbors been eavesdropping, huh?
Yeah, they have. Let's go in, huh, Mr. Cordell?
Jenny and me, we just didn't see eye to eye on a thing, so I let her have my point of view. That's no cause for a neighbor to yell cop. That's no reason.
Mr. Cordell?
Ray's right. There's no cause.
He's been beating you, hasn't he?
He doesn't know, does he, Ray? He doesn't know how we are, we two. Ray? Ray, honey?
What do you want, baby?
Lean close, honey punch. That's it. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Ray, honey? Honey punch?
See, Clover? A man and a wife, and a love like it's never been.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. This message comes to you from CBS Radio, where day and night, every day and every night, America listens most. We're proud of our responsibility for broadcasting news, entertainment, and public service programming to more people. And we're constantly trying to make our programming worthy of more and more listeners. For instance, have you heard some of our most recent newcomers, brought to you by most of these stations? There's Les Paul and Mary Ford at home, two talented instrumentalist vocalists who prove on their round-the-week visits that good things come in small packages. And have you been listening to the Julius LaRosa show, now 3 evenings a week at the Star's address? This brilliant young man has gone straight to America's heart with his voice and with his personality. We hope you've been enjoying, too, those visits with the Corallaires, our much-expanded barbershop quartet, with a singing style that's won them loads of friends. So, keep tuned to the Star's address. Keep listening to CBS Radio.
November night at Flood, and the mood is already set on Broadway. Laughter muffled against the fur piece, and the warm words out of the mouths of hawkers turning to mist on the chill night air, and mirrors that earlier glittered dimmer now and hazed and worn with having held the sharp images of the day things, of the day girls who dipped in flight, made scarlet their mouths, engraved their reflection on mercury glass, and darted away. And now the replacements moving in, shadow and reflection and night images floating under glass. Mood for November. And where I was, the mood, loving.
Honey bunch. You are my own true bunch of honey.
And the gesture, gentle.
My fingers on your lips, baby. And repeat after me.
Mr. Cordell.
You're spoiling it, Clover. You're insensitive.
A little while ago, you were beating her up.
And what Ginny needs right now is a sensitive man.
Like you.
Like me, baby.
You want to tell me about it here, Mr. Cordell, or would you...
You leave my Ray alone. You leave my honey bunch alone.
There's a red welt on your cheek, Mrs. Cordell. That where your husband slapped you? Come on, Mr. Cordell.
Now, you just wait. I had it coming to me.
What?
I had it coming, what Ray did.
Why?
Well, for one thing, I'm not as educated as Ray is. Sometimes I act real stupid, like I just did a little while ago. And I yelled at him, and it made him mad. And another thing.
What?
He doesn't have to say he's sorry to anyone. Not you, not me. All Honey Bunch has to do is...
love you, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You beat on our door, Clover, and you brought love and light back into our little home. What more can you want?
Last night you killed a man.
A thief, I don't know what, who came to the wrong place for what he wanted. We gonna rehash that bit again, Clover?
Yeah, we are.
Ray.
Hush your little mouth, baby. You were saying, Clover.
Did you know that man your husband killed last night, Mrs. Cordell?
I told you last night I didn't.
Earlier today, I checked to the hotel where Lou Martin was staying. Found out he was a salesman. Found out he visited town regularly.
What are you trying to say, Clover?
Just that Lou Martin seemed to me to be a reputable salesman. Why should he suddenly turn thief?
You're really stupid if you think I'm smart enough to answer that. You better ask a doctor.
You'll stick around, huh, Cordell? You and your wife?
Stray from our love nest? You out of your mind? Baby? You tell him not to slam the door on his way out. Right now, I'm busy.
Few things, Danny.
Oh, what things, sir?
Well, this for one. Report from Dr. Sinsky. You'll read it, you'll see. That Mr. Ray Cordell, he's a true champ at the andiron. Way he went over Lou Martin with it. Bones I never knew people had in him. You read it. It'll bear me out.
Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah. Legwork. Routine rundown of Mr. Ray Cordell.
Now, what about him?
Artist. Illustrates kids' books. One of the top men in the field, I was given to understand. You know why?
No, I don't, Muggerman.
I didn't either till his publisher, Mr. Etlander, told me why. Ray Cordell, he said... give me a minute. I'll try to remember Mr. Etlander's exact words.
Well, Muggerman?
Ray Cordell, he said, an innocent, a creature of faith in his fellow man. A man who looks at the world through the window of the eyes of a child. That's why.
Well, thanks, Muggerman. That's,
Oh, one more thing, Danny. The publisher gave me the names of two people he works with most of the time who wrote the kids' books. Cordell illustrates them.
Well?
I call these two people. Bobby and Essie Goodhue. Brother and sister. Here's their address in the village. I told them you'd be around.
Well, why, when you could have...
Some people have got to be seen to be believed, Danny. From the way Essie Goodhue talked to me on the phone, I wouldn't want you to go through life without these two. Bye, Danny.
And the village now, in the chill sunlight of November, and the walkers through it, boy in red turtleneck sweater, and against it, blonde beard, sandaled young lady at tug-of-war with her terrier who spotted a Pomeranian, old man in khaki shorts and knapsack who never leaves the area. Second floor trumpet. Third floor piano. Scent of fresh bread from a bakery that features day-old loaves at half price. And the walkers from out of town, walkers who gawk, who get taken, who write home how shrewd they've been, who buy leather pillows and autographed turtles and clever neckties. And right turn on 6th Street and red brick apartment house. And the muraled hallway of a Parisian scene with two-line poetry in praise of practically everything. And the apartment you're looking for.
Come in. Come right on in. And you did. Essie, look.
Hi.
I'm,
Danny Clover.
From the police.
You've been waited for.
We waited. Early this morning, a man called and said you'd be here.
Essie answered the phone.
And here you are.
I've been told the two of you write children's books.
Small little stories.
A is for the, B is for the, C is for the, you know.
Or about the little girl who lost all her polka dots.
And the puppy who chased the moon.
Ray Cordell illustrates them, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about him.
He's a gentleman.
Yes, he is.
And he does things... delicately.
Yes, he does.
Have you heard what's happened to him?
No.
Tell us.
It was in the papers, in all the...
We don't read the papers.
We read the papers. We could not write stories for children.
He beat a man to death.
And what else?
Essie. He just said that Ray beat a man to death.
He's fooling us. Go on, Mr. Clover.
He beat a man to death. He...
And what else?
He means it. Essie.
What?
tell him.
Tell him what?
You used to like Ray.
Did I?
She used to like Ray.
Do you want to get me in trouble?
I'm not doing anything.
Drop dead.
Cliche. Cliche.
Let's all of us go downtown and get booked.
You too.
She used to like Ray.
Come on, let's go.
I didn't believe him, that's all. I didn't believe a guy like Ray Cordell was.
What do you mean?
Such a gentle guy. Sweet.
Oh, my little baby.
Get away, beat it.
Look, you two.
Ray Cordell was afraid of girlies. What else am I going to tell you? Real shy. I went out with him a few times and got tired of waiting. Meek, mild. Oh, come on, let's have some words, Ryder.
Meek and mild are very nice words.
Meek and mild.
I like what you said before, too. Scared of Danes.
Then how do you figure he got married?
He didn't have a chance. True lady gives a fellow a chance. Ray didn't get one from her.
From his wife, you mean?
Of course.
Surely.
Certainly.
You see?
We were there.
What are you talking about?
When it happened.
She was all over him with her tricks.
She didn't give him a chance. We saw.
You saw what?
When he met her.
You saw what?
A little bar, and she was sitting there.
Just sitting, Virginia had tricks.
That's not fair.
Where was this?
Little bar we used to like to go to. Long ago. Ages.
Year or two ago. In an awful hotel.
The Easterwood?
The Easterwood?
The Easterwood.
Thanks.
Bobby, he's going.
Bye.
Oh.
Hello, Mrs. Cordell. May I come in?
Ray.
Mind if I come in?
Ray.
What do you want?
Ray.
What's the matter? Can't you answer the...
Ray.
Oh. Yeah, what is it, Clover?
He wants to come in.
Come on in. You fond of us, Clover? This is your first visit in hours now.
I've been asking around and...
What a thing to do.
Ray.
Sure, honey. You can go make the beds.
Stick around.
Orders are what I give, not you.
Just stick around, Mrs. Cordell.
Ray.
Okay. Okay, stick around for a minute.
I paid a visit to a couple of people who write books.
Bobby and Essie?
Mm-hmm.
Did you find out? Are they for real?
I talked to them, and another man talked to other acquaintances of yours.
So?
From what I've been able to find out, you're a changed man.
You think I'm changed, Jenny? Well?
Well, not basically, Honey Bunch.
You see, Clover? I'm still...
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the man you killed.
Why?
You like to start it off, Mrs. Cordell?
Ray.
What?
He's been... How do I know what he's found out?
Listen, Clover.
What?
Yesterday I killed a man. I've been through a lot. Now, why don't you go away and come back?
You know what's happening, don't you, Mrs. Cordell?
I think so.
What are you talking about? What's happening?
Listen, I know your wife must have known Lou Martin.
You're crazy.
She hung around a bar that Lou Martin used to visit when he was in town. That's too much of a coincidence, the fact that he was killed here. Well, what?
Well, maybe she did know him.
I got a feeling, Ray.
Look, Jenny.
I got a feeling you're going to break out in a sweat and start shivering in a minute.
Look, Jenny.
What are you going to do, hit me? Knock me around? Look, what's happened to you already. You're scared again. The man's got you in a corner.
You know what you are.
And you're whimpering.
You know what she is, don't you, Clover?
Knows I'm a girl who married a man like you. A nothing man. A weak...
You know what she is, don't you, Clover?
Lou Martin got in touch with you, didn't he, Mrs. Cordell? And you told him to come over.
Yeah. Listen, Ray...
I don't know what to do.
Listen, baby. Before you found me in that place, I was getting frightened. I was getting up there. 36 is no chicken, Honey Bunch. So I told you a lie. I told you I loved you. It's a lady's privilege.
What am I going to do?
I figured, all right, this guy, you, he's a real gentle fella. Real shy, timid boy.
You know you were the first girl I could talk to.
So I said, sure, I'd marry you. But you turned out pretty terrible, Honey Bunch. Nothing. Very mild.
You ready to go, Mr. Cardell? Please, Jenny.
Look at you.
Please.
Listen, you didn't have to come home when you did find Lou with me. You didn't have to do that.
Jenny.
But after you killed him, boy, up till 5 minutes ago, boy, talk about a fella. A man-type fella. The way you took over. How easy you set up the story to tell the police. Talk about a fella.
Just tell me what to do, that's all.
Go with the man, Honey Bunch. Go on. Go on. Move. That's right. Go with the man.
When night turns into Broadway, the street plumes into flame, flings reflections hard into the shadows. It's the dream, its blare that ebbs and screams again, and faces darting, wavering, lost forever. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's transcribed story, Herb Ellis was heard as Ray Cordell, Mary Jane Croft as Virginia Cordell, Gene Bates as Essie Goodhue, Jack Edwards as Bobby Goodhue, Howard McNear as Mr. Ramsey, and Eve McVeigh as Angela. Bill Anders speaking. Doctors estimate there are more than 1 million undiscovered diabetics in America who are living and working below par because of their ailment. This week, annually observed as Diabetes Week, a campaign is underway to locate undiscovered diabetics for their own present and future well-being. If yours is one of over 800 communities making diabetes tests available, take advantage of the occasion to test yourself and your family to be sure. Your news is always accurately reported when it comes from the CBS Radio Network.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed the shows. You can find more from both of those series at relicradio.com, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, help keep them all going. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with an episode from Crime Classics and one from It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, on a brand new episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.